Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 7th of February, recording at 8:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, apologies for the heavy breathing in that Friday audio. I've had a little bit of trouble with the audio recording since I changed over to a new computer. As you may recall, a little over a month ago, and it's kind of a tricky proposition. What I've done is I've asked the IT people to get me another microphone because the setting on this is very, very sensitive. If I push it away far enough so that you don't get the breathing sounds and the air pushing against the microphone, then some people can't hear it. Not everyone, but some. And Friday, I got the microphone in quite close, and when I listened to it over the weekend briefly just to check it out, it was fairly noisy. I would have recorded it again, but I plead human frailty here. I don't think I could have remembered the sequence, which I was reasonably satisfied with. Okay, but here it goes. Hopefully I've struck a better balance in terms of the microphone position for the time being. In terms of stock markets, pretty good action in here today. Now, that's not surprising given the strong gains on Wall Street that we had on Friday, and those included a number of upward dynamics. Best looking of the major indices on Wall Street were the Dow and also the S&P. The Nasdaq's lagging. Now, there's a little warning in that if it continues to lag, but no problems here at the moment in my view. I place great store, though, by those December reaction lows. As long as Wall Street is holding above the December reaction lows, then I think that we are still in an environment where liquidity rules and stock markets that are in form will remain in form, and some of them will do extremely well indeed. Now, in the Asia-Pacific region, we had good moves here today in Australia and New Zealand, so those are just continuing to push ahead following that consolidation of about a month that we had seen previously. Now, in previous form, these will just go on pushing ahead here for at least another couple of weeks. At some stage or other, the consistency of this cycle, particularly for Australia, is going to be interrupted, and that'll be a major warning. But I'm not going to worry about it until I actually see it. Okay, in terms of other Asian markets, Japan had a very good day in here today. That leading second section was up again today, but the better action was this time was in the TOPIX and also the Nikkei stock average. Now, the Nikkei stock average, or Japan, is one of the markets where I have a reasonable weighting in terms of my long-term investment positions. Those are mostly self-administered pension fund positions and various ISA accounts. In other words, things that I hope never to touch, or at least never to need to touch. Now, Japan, I've been maintaining all along that this was in a consolidation phase. That wasn't a difficult call overall because of the strength that we've seen in other stock markets recently. And Japan is one of the candidates which, along with Thailand and South Korea, I'd been saying had been lagging and really could run quite strongly here in a late stage move. We've seen Korea push ahead pretty strongly. Had a wonderful day today, another breakout today. And Thailand's been running, more about that in a moment. But Japan, with today's action, suggests to me that we will probably get an upside breakout here this week. We're really quite close to it. Now, for the Nikkei, there's some lateral resistance. You may recall this from the charts, or if you don't, go have a look at the charts in the subscribers area, particularly the candlestick charts, and you'll see some lateral resistance around 1,200. It closed at 11,499 here today, up 139 points, or 1.25%. Now, I think we're going to see Japan run up and test that 12,000 level and probably break through it on the upside, as long as it remains reasonably fair sailing here in these other markets. There's always a qualification on this, but I think we will have reasonably fair sailing because the setback that we saw in the first half of January proved to be short-lived for most markets, and Wall Street has stabilized and a bit more on the Dow and the S&P. So how will I actually play that? Now, I have, as I say, I have pension fund positions in Japan, and I'm going to go on building those. But I also have a speculative play in the Nikkei stock average, and I increased that about 50% last week. Now, that's all in the money, but not sufficiently in the money so that I would feel comfortable putting a stop in at this stage. But if we get an upside breakout this week, then out of that little trading range that you can see on the charts, then I will go in and put in an in-the-money stop to make sure that I can't, under any sort of normal circumstances, lose money in my initial positions, and I'll leverage it up again because the breakout would be quite positive. Why not anticipate the breakout? Well, because I don't want to leverage myself any more than I already have, so I'll take a more cautious approach on that. And other elsewhere, Thailand, I said I'd come back to that. We had the election. Thaksin Shinawatra looks like he's got close to 400 seats. So that's a very good result as far as he's concerned. And there are a couple of articles that I've posted on that, or at least one. Yes, one that I posted on the website in that regard. But my conclusion on this is that investors will regard this as good news for the Thai stock market, which has been in good form certainly in the last couple of weeks in anticipation of this election victory. Now that last remaining uncertainty is out of the way, I expect Thailand to push up through the January 2004 highs. And India had a little bit of a pause on the Sensex index, although that didn't hold up that J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust Fund. So investors are still very interested in this market. And as you know, it's my favorite for the very, very long term. Well, that's pretty much the good news. Well, no, there's more than that, certainly in terms of these European stock markets. Again, all firm in here today. And best gainer on the day was the Swedish OMX market, up 1.34%. But solid gains all around. Now the FTSE 100 index is closing on the 5,000 level. It closed today at 4,979, and 5,000 is one of those obvious round number levels. Now sometimes markets just sail through these, but they can also represent a pause point. Why a pause point? Well, because people who are looking and watching a market rally and saying, well, where's it going to go on the upside? They're seldom going to say, well, I think it'll go to 49.79, that's today's close, and then fall back or to go to 50.50, they'll say 5,000. And therefore, it becomes a widely sort of anticipated figure. And when the market pretty well gets there, then people say, what next? And the mere fact that they say, what next, can sometimes lead to a pause in the supply-demand balance for a while. But there's nothing sinister here about the 5,000, but it is a psychological, bit of a psychological barrier, and if the market races through it, then people will be emboldened again. But the main story here, as far as these European markets are concerned, that they have reconfirmed overall upward trends. The Asian markets have, in a number of instances, reconfirmed overall upward trends. And North America isn't looking so bad. Bit unchanged here on the day. Wall Street's been in the money a little bit and out of the money a little bit, but a really, really quite a quiet day. Now, say that's the good news. The bad news is, well, for me at any rate, I'm finding it a real struggle here in terms of trading ideas, partly because the dollar rally, which I thought was mostly over And well, it certainly got a renewed wind behind it on Friday, and that followed through in here today. Now, as you'll see, I put up some charts of the dollar index, and that's getting up near prior resistance. But that doesn't mean we can't push into it a little bit. And with these currency trends, that they go until there's a dynamic in the opposite direction, which frightens the people who are running the position. So what I'm really saying is that the dollar needs a downward dynamic, which would be a sharp one-day move, sharper than the reactions that people have seen within the rally to date. And then that will lead to a reassessment and some profit taking and so on. Now, you know my view on this, that we've seen the I think the dollar's seen the best part of its rally, but I've said for quite a while that I couldn't say that that rally was over, and I certainly can't say that in here today, having seen Friday's breakout from a small trading range, a little bit of additional gains in here today. And that has put some pressure on the some of the supply and elasticity trades, such as gold. But more about that in a moment. Probably what people are thinking here is, well, should one be joining this dollar rally? Well, if you look at that index chart, to me, this would be pretty late in the game. If we go back to the 80 level when it was testing the support, well, that would have been, with hindsight, that would have been a good option. I seldom play what I think are going to be counter trend moves, and so I certainly found that a temptation that I could resist. My overall view is that this is a technical rally for the dollar. It may overshoot a little bit, subject to events, but I think that the resistance on the dollar index in this 85 to 87 max 88 range will certainly contain it. So can go higher in the short term, but watch out for that eventual dynamic, and that'll be a short signal when that occurs to either to I think to both sell the dollar and to buy some of the dollar-related plays, highly correlated dollar plays such as gold. Gold slipped in here again today with this additional dollar rally, but nowhere near so much on Friday. I think that IMF story that was circulating on Friday that rattled the market a little bit. I wouldn't expect anything to come of that myself. Now, gold, which I've been saying since around that 420 area, was in a buying range, and we're down here at 413.70. I still maintain that. Now, the people listening to that who want some long-term timing thoughts on this, whether gold bottoms in here, whether it bottomed today at 412.75, and I've got no evidence that that was the bottom of this reaction, or whether it bottoms at 410 or 400 or 390. In the long-term scheme of things, it's no big deal. It's not going to look important. But if you're thinking of putting on a leveraged trading position, then it is indeed a big deal, or certainly can be. So the prudent thing, I feel, in terms of gold, if one was thinking of buying any of the paper gold and so on, that certainly this is in a buying range. We've seen most of the reaction that we're likely to get, and at the very outside, we might see a replay of the 2003 reaction, which was just under $70, and we've had 44 so far, but that's not a forecast. I think that's the extreme reaction, and psychological support should certainly be in the 400 area. So I wouldn't be surprised to see gold bottom quite soon. But again, just as I said, we need a downward dynamic for the dollar to indicate that it has completed its technical rally, and we haven't had that yet. We need, I've been mentioning that we needed an upward dynamic in the price of gold of $10 or so that holds through the close to indicate that it has bottomed, and we certainly haven't had that yet. So gold is still, well, got hit on Friday and drifted a little lower here today, although closed, well, it's not closed. It trades pretty well around the clock, but trading well off the, well, more than a dollar off the low today. Range of 416.32. It was up a little bit earlier on when the dollar was softer. Dipped down to 412.75. Currently 413.90. Okay, silver also pulling back. Now, I think silver is in a buying range, but it's... I would tread warily in these precious metal markets until we get evidence that the dollar has peaked and gold has bottomed. Then I think one could be quite aggressive, and we're not there yet. Now, the industrial metals are holding up better, and we had quite a good rally in copper here today, and the backwardation is still firm there. The backwardations are firm in most of these metals overall. So they are certainly doing better, much less affected by the dollar, and there's a lower, historically there's been a lower correlation there, there anyway. The energy, number of the energy trades doing really quite well. Some of you I know have that Investec Global Energy Fund, which has one of those irritating front-end loads, although that can be negotiated down. And one can buy the UK listed and quoted version, or the original version, which I own, which was the Guernsey registered dollar denominated Investec Global Energy Fund. But that's doing extremely well, and I think that they've got quite a substantial position in those Canadian tar sands oil plays. So that all looks extremely interesting here, and I think will remain so for the foreseeable future. And quick wrap here: this global stock market rally, we're still on course to run well into the first quarter of this year. We're not quite halfway there yet, but I will chop and change according to the momentum that I see on these charts. In other words, if the charts remain consistent and keep reconfirming the overall upward trend, I will happily stay with my plays. Yet, if I see more warning signs coming from either oil, which is quiescent at the moment, sort of 45-38, that's not going to cause any panic. And the interest rate concerns seem to have subsided here for a while. So, and again, I mentioned those lows, those December lows on Wall Street. As long as those lows are holding and none of the other potential warning signs are flashing, then I'm content to run with this. On the other hand, if I get a sudden deterioration, I will do what I did last time and start to lighten positions. Meanwhile, let's just run with a rally. Have an excellent evening.